Well, it's, I think, just about everyone's favorite word, Bulldog, Maction. How do you like Ross, too? He texts us about how he's got a game tonight and he's got a little bit of a short schedule. But this is a man after my own heart. When he writes Maction in the text, capital M, capital A, capital C, T-I-O-N. No hyphens, no, you know, not all small letters. Does it right. On the Western Hotline, Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross, where is said Maction tonight?
Kent, Ohio.
Oh,
Dix Stadium, D-I-X. It is the 2-8 Akron Zips against the 0-10 Kent State Golden Flashes. The wagon wheel is on the line. It's by far the biggest game of the season for these teams. They're less than 10 miles apart. Obviously, neither team is very good at all, which means this game's even more important. They both need to win this game, and whoever wins it, it's going to be incredible because either Akron gets their third win, which would be the most they've had since 2017,
wow,
or Kent State gets their first win of the season, and those kids go absolutely bananas. I love it. CBS Sports Network tonight. Yes, I'm a sicko. Yes, I have the disease. No, I don't care.
I love it all. Do you happen to know who's in possession of the wagon wheel? Like, did last year's winner in this rivalry get to keep it, and thus they are in possession of it, or is it at a neutral site?
Akron won the wagon wheel last year after four straight losses. So they are in possession of the wagon wheel. They will be bringing it tonight. And think about this, okay? Number one, the one kid told me that winning it last year was the best thing he's ever experienced on a football field. They're less than 10 miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
This game, like, you know, there's some talk that maybe the Akron coach is on the hot seat. I don't know. I mean, it just...
you would think.
There's a lot to it. It's raining, pretty cold. It's perfect. It really is.
Hopefully Akron are good sports and actually do have the trophy. Like, I was in a fantasy league and won, and I was there for the trophy. The guy's like, I'll get it to you. I don't have it with me. I left it back. It's back at the hotel.
That's no good.
Oh, my gosh. That's not okay.
No, it's not okay. No, they had better bring it. They had better have it there. Just, you know, that be a sport, Akron. I love the coach might be on the hot seat. They haven't won three games in 7 years. You'd think that he might be, yes. Well, the enthusiasm clearly is genuine here, and we can all watch Akron and Kent and Ross on the call tonight on CBS Sports Network. The Bills over the Chiefs on Sunday. Let's get right into it. We don't have as much time today. Your thoughts on the game? It was pretty back and forth. It lived up to a lot of hype, and then you get the Allen run to clinch it for Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would say it was kind of what I expected. You know, I thought it would be a close game. I thought it would go back and forth. I thought Josh Allen and the Bills would come through late. I guess in terms of takeaway, my biggest takeaway is maybe that Sean McDermott learned his lesson a little bit by not kicking that field goal, by going for it in that game. To try to put them away to make it a two-score game, which was absolutely the right decision. And so I think that's probably my biggest takeaway moving forward. I also think, you know, I hope that inspires some confidence in the Bills that they can put the Chiefs away, that they can close games out against them, that they can win a game like that. I don't know if it carries over or not, but you know, it can't hurt, right? Like, from a fan perspective and media perspective, we can all look at it and say, oh, man, that makes it less likely that they'll beat them in the playoffs, and I don't know, and blah, 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 blah. Like, I get all that, but it really can't hurt that they won that game and the way in which they won it and won it by two scores. And I would say even not giving up a score after that. You know, like, I thought for sure – Mahomes will go down and get a touchdown or a field goal, to make it a one-score game, and then we'd have a little bit more drama. And he probably would have if it wasn't for the holding call, but it happened.
Right. So do you have a different, having seen this game and, you know, analyzed it, do you have a different attitude maybe than last week about where the AFC race goes from here? Last week we were talking, you seemed to feel that really the one seed was going to end up in Kansas City's lap anyway. I mean, I hope I'm not misstating your opinion on that. At this point, the Chiefs, again, just don't really look that sharp. And I wonder if maybe you think the Bills have they have the win now, of course, but a better look at it. And the incentive should be there, too, for these teams to want to get there.
Well, certainly having the head-to-head win in the tiebreaker, I think, is huge. And as we know, the Bills needed to win for that to even be a conversation point, right? So Right. Now it's a conversation point. But again, you know, like the Chiefs play the Panthers this week. They're not losing that game, right? So it's like you start to go through the schedule. I do think there's a chance the Chiefs lose another game. But are the Bills going to win all of theirs, like the rest of theirs? I tend to think probably not. I haven't examined their schedule that closely, but I would imagine that the Bills lose another game at some point.
Yeah.
I think they probably both lose one more game. You know, I think the Chiefs maybe 15-2, Bills 14-3, and the Chiefs still have home field. Maybe not, but, you know, without going through and going game by game, and they'll win that and they'll lose that, like whatever, that'd be my first instinct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about the job the offense did in this game, Ross, with no Kincaid, no Coleman, Cooper, very modest stats, but big catches. Both of his catches were very impactful catches. Shakir did his thing. They didn't really run it well, but they scored three rushing touchdowns. I love how they found a way against, you know, I'd say the toughest defense they've maybe seen all year.
Well, that's the key, right? To put up 30 against Spagnuolo, that and that defense, that's very encouraging. And to do it without, I don't know, definitely two of their five best weapons, right? I mean, Amari Cooper, Shakir, James Cook, and then I'd say Keon Coleman and Dalton Kincaid, those five guys in some order.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd like to think that when they have those guys, hopefully in the playoffs, that would make the Bills even more lethal. I also don't know that it works that way a little bit. You know, sometimes it's amazing. Football is such an interesting game in that the best way to describe it is, do you guys ever play, I mean, obviously you've played chess before, but have you ever seen like people that play like a high level of chess?
I never have experienced that, no.
Yeah, so any one different piece on the board changes everything, right? Like changes the whole strategy, changes all the different techniques, changes everything. I think football is a little bit more like that maybe than we realize. That, you know, every different piece that's either on the board or off the board, or in this case on the field or off the field, it just changes how Joe Brady game plans that week and plays he calls, and then conversely what Spagnuolo calls and how he looks at it. It's a fascinating dynamic, which is why it's not always the case. Well, if they get these guys back, then they'll be even better. You know,
right.
What I mean? It's not really. You would think that would be the case, but it doesn't always work out that way.
I love that you brought up chess, because that 4th-and-2 play obviously has been dissected already many times by that whole scene on social media that breaks all that stuff down. And I love like reading and learning about like what the Bills thought they would get from Spagnuolo on that play, which would be man coverage, which the Chiefs play a lot of and had played a good amount of in that game that day. But instead, so the Bills make a play call expecting man coverage, and they don't get it, and Allen recognizes it right away, and that's, I think, what causes him to realize, I'm just going to have to take off, because like this play is designed to go to Shakir in the right flat, and they're going to be on it, because they changed their plan here. I just think that's so cool, that chess match, like Spagnuolo breaking a tendency that the Bills expected, and then Allen just being able to make that all go away and not matter in the end, because he just made such a dynamic play.
Yep, I think that's exactly correct. And, yeah, I've said it before, I'll say it again. He's my favorite player in the NFL. You know, like, thankfully, I don't have to pay to watch anybody play, but I would pay to watch Josh play. I mean, he is absolutely must-see TV. And interestingly, you know, there's other guys, Lamar Jackson and Mahomes or whatever. I don't know why. Maybe it's the physical nature with which he runs, mm-hmm. or maybe it's the fact that he kind of looks more helter-skelter sometimes when he does it. But it's just so darn entertaining. He is this generation's Brett Favre. And that when I watch Allen, now obviously he runs it a lot more. Favre was a different player, but I just mean in terms of like, hey, Josh Allen's on. I really want to watch this guy play. Because I just think that there's a lot of people that really, really enjoy watching him play, and certainly I'm one of them.
It's a few minutes left with Ross Tucker. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Maybe this seems a little bit from left field. I know you've got Akron and Kent on the brain here, Ross. Coach of the year in the NFL. McDermott never comes close to it, but his season so far is a little bit of not an underdog season, but, I mean, they're beating certain expectations near the top of the conference again. Mike Tomlin is doing the same thing, maybe even more so. He is the betting favorite at this point. Dan Campbell's been up there. Do you have one of these guys or someone else that you like for that award at this point?
Hadn't thought that much about it, to be honest with you. I mean, the Mike Tomlin one makes a lot of sense to me for a couple of different reasons. Number one, you know, what has the award really become? It's kind of become like wins over expectation,
mm-hmm.
right? So what that means is you go before the year, and we talk about this stuff a lot on the Even Money Betting podcast, but you can talk about the season win total, right? You can bet, for people that aren't familiar with how many games a team's going to win. Well, I think right now the Steelers and Mike Tomlin are the ones that are exceeding it the most. The other one that came to mind right away for me was Jonathan Gannon and the Arizona Cardinals, or Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings, because both those guys have far exceeded what the season win total expectations were for those teams as well. I think what makes the Steelers even more pronounced is Tomlin made a high-profile decision to bench Justin Fields and go with Russell Wilson, that has paid off handsomely. So he sort of has a double dip there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where he's clearly beat the expectations for the team, and he also got a lot of attention for a decision that he made that most people panned, didn't think it was a good decision, and turned out to be a great decision, at least so far.
Did you happen to notice Justin Fields at all in that game? The couple of plays he got to play, because he slid on two rushing attempts that absolutely blew my mind. Like, you're the backup quarterback, you're the rushing quarterback, you're in here to try to get us a first down in a short yardage situation, and you're sliding short of the sticks, feet first. Like, dude, what are you doing?
So that's really interesting. You know, I was calling the Dolphins Raiders for CBS,
right.
So I did not see every snap. I saw the one late, where it was like he slid short of the first down. It's like, dude, are you kidding?
Yeah.
You got to get the first down there, which I would say, I don't know about the first one. Doesn't sound good. But what I would tell you is the fact that he slid short of the line to gain, I think is like an awareness issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a pretty good indicator of kind of probably why he hasn't become what people thought he would become. In that situation, it's absolutely like you cannot not get the first down in that spot. You must get the first down. Like, and it's like the lack of awareness is something I see a lot from these guys. which is why, you know, you can just tell, like, Jaden Daniels, right? Like, he knows when to go out of bounds. He knows when to throw the ball away. I mean, I guess I'm just impressed by guys. Some guys just get it, and some guys don't. And I can't think of that many examples, to be honest, of guys that didn't get it but then figured it out.
Right.
They usually just don't have it. It's just not. And I don't know if it's they didn't watch enough football growing up, or their dad didn't talk to them while they were watching it, or they've watched a ton and they just don't have an innate feel for it. But I'm like blown away at times by some of these guys.
Ross, thanks for fitting us in. Akron at Kent, throw out the record books. Enjoy that and stay dry.
I will. I can't wait. Hopefully some of you guys watch, and I will talk to you next week.
All right. That's our man, Ross Tucker, on the Wester Hotline. Odyssey NFL Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May yo game day be delicious. And in part by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
I didn't realize the Fields thing. The second one was 2nd and 10 on their last possession, and he got 9. And it looks like, yeah, I mean, a first down kind of wins the game.
Yeah.
But there are times where you'd want 9, you know, the extra play.
Yeah.
If you have a sure thing, quarterback.
This was not one of those times, no. And he had room. Like, he would have gotten hit, okay? But, again, like, I want my starting quarterback in that situation, in the game on the line. I don't want you sliding early. That's a play where I want you to take the chance. And he's not even the starting quarterback. He's in there specifically for that. Just, dude, yeah, he slid so, I mean, it's easy for me to say, so early. But he had room to get. Like, if he starts the slide a half step later, he probably has the first down. But he just couldn't wait. And I just thought, man, that is not a thing to endear yourself to your teammates at all. I mean, they got away with it. They won the game anyway. But still, I thought it was really bad.
Back-to-back chess references here for us this week. Chess is on a two-game appearance streak, two-show appearance streak. I was thinking about the game Sunday and Xavier Worthy for Kansas City. Like, there were a few plays.
Mm-hmm.
They used him in this game. There was a long one that they missed again. Like, that's been happening, I guess, every week where the timing is off. Worthy could have had better awareness where he was on the field. He ends up being out of bounds. Also, Mahomes could have. It's like Allen to Kincaid in Indianapolis. Just
put it in
put
a little better spot. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like he doesn't need to be perfect there. There's nobody on Worthy on that play.
I'd be harder on Worthy on that than on Mahomes myself. I you know, just you. He had enough room to make. You see receivers make that play pretty regularly. I think it wouldn't even been that spectacular. He just didn't realize he didn't have both feet.
Yeah, just thinking like. It is. Yesterday we started the show, and is this a high point for Bills fans? Sunday was so much fun, and it just looks good in so many ways. One thing before the season that, all right, well, is it going to be a step back this year? Just what's going to happen? We don't know, but I have to admit, any sort of Xavier Worthy or Stephon Diggs, you know, big moment, big play, game winner, something like that, if the Bills weren't winning, I know we would get to that. You know, like the Bills trading out and Worthy is drafted. Of course, Diggs being traded. And it just seems, Diggs especially, just so long forgotten. You know, right now, and I'm still a little bit skeptical. I just think it's a little bit too easy. But that doesn't mean it has to be wrong to think that, like, yeah, this is what they needed. You know, this sort of more balanced attack and not having all the different ways it's been put. Somebody who cares about stats, you know, somebody who has to have the ball. Everybody's putting it a little bit differently, but they're all saying the same thing, that the Bills are a better team because Diggs isn't on it. And I just don't know. Like, he's hurt too. So there isn't, like, last night, but could have been a game where you saw Diggs on TV a lot and he's out for the year.
Right.
So we don't have that. But this is one where the Bills have so far, like, it's just Oh, yeah. I think maybe you're listening to this right now. Going, oh, that's right. I forgot. Right. Worthy. Yeah, that was Diggs. Right. Sure. Who? Yeah, I remember him.
Gabe Davis is out for the year if you want him too, by the way. That happened. So
that's right.
Their top two receivers from the last 4 years, both left in free agency. Well, Diggs got traded, excuse me, but are both out for the year. So tough break for them.
But, you know.
But it's not in our hair at all. Right. You're not going to have any Gabe Davis highlights to worry about. No Diggs highlights to worry about. And Worthy. You know, that could still happen. I mean, he had 4 for 61 in the first half, and it felt like maybe we're, you know, about to see his first really big game in this spot, and that would have been annoying. But it didn't materialize. He didn't catch another ball after the first half.
Yeah, I mean, hardly anybody seemed to want the Bills to pay up to keep Davis, but you know, he's another one. And Coleman is hurt now, but has done enough. He's had his moments too, where really has not. The opening night when the Chiefs played against Baltimore and Worthy had maybe had two touchdowns in that game. Yeah. He had one right away. Like, here we go. Mm-hmm. Here we go, guy. Was fired up.
Right.
Because the season was starting and Xavier Worthy. But it really just has not been much. And the Chiefs do not have the timing right when it comes to him yet here in going into week 12. Sean McDermott was on our show yesterday. That conversation, that interview, seems to have a lot of people talking, and I want to say a couple things about that as we continue. 803-0550 for your calls. We're in and out of guests all day. We've got Sal and Paul Hamilton still to come, but there's time here after sports, so we'll look when we get back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.